Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we begin, I want to remind you all to join the new Union Sports Goalkeeping Community, a social media network that reimagines how we engage, educate, and entertain one another. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union Community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, you know her as the number one fan of USA Soccer, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber, sporting her USA hat. Actually, that's a hockey hat, isn't it? Is that Team USA hockey that you're wearing right now?
It was Team USA across the board for the Olympics. But last time I wore it was when hockey was playing in the gold medal.
That's what's going on. And speaking to somebody who's got a little bit of experience with the USA Soccer setup, because she's already had her chance over in the U.S. Women's National Team pool, we've got Portland Thorns goalkeeper Bella Bigsby making her triumphant return to Inside the 18 post-pandemic. What's up, Bella?
What? Yeah, it's been a while, but post-pandemic? I don't know if it's post-pandemic yet, but
okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, you of all people should know
still
that.
Here, two years.
It's been 2 years. Oh, hold on, Hector Castro says, let's go. So you got a big fan right here already. Bella, obviously it has been 2 years since you've been on the show. Before we kind of get started in today's topic, which is going to be talking about extending reach, obviously a lot's it's happened, not just you know, in your own world, but in the world in general. And first off, shout out to you and some of the other players out there who speak their mind out there. Anybody who is opinionated and willing to be honest out there is number one in Saskia's heart, because Saskia, absolutely, I know you're pretty opinionated yourself too.
I think I've gotten better. Maybe I am very opinionated.
But that's a good thing. So Bella, why don't you catch up everybody a little bit in what's been going on in your world? Obviously, you know, Portland Thorns, you know, you guys had a great run last year, and, you know, you recovered from this injury, which is obviously a really difficult injury. And what else?
Yeah, I think kind of an unsatisfying end to our season last year with how well we were doing. We obviously won the Shield, which is incredibly difficult to do. But we posted, I think, a new club record for shutouts in a season. Like, we did very well, but I think we were unsatisfied with how that sort of ended. So a lot of changes within our team, a lot of changes within our front office, technical staff. So obviously just still feeling things out very early in the season, but we have a good group. Been lucky to have been called into two national team camps since November, which has been really cool, really exciting. And it was awesome to get into that environment. I think it's obviously next step up from club. And it was just a great environment to like push myself and learning things. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really cool, you know, when you talk about all that, obviously, because, you know, Saskia and I, we were talking about this earlier, Saskia, the difference, and obviously shout out, you know, to San Diego, you know, being one of the expansion teams to be currently in the position that they're at. But there's the separation between the top of the table right now, Saskia, and the bottom of the table is like 3 points. I mean, everything is so tight in the NWSL right now.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think that, you know, it goes to what we were talking about earlier, is it really, you know, is a nod to the depth of women's soccer here in the United States, that, you know, two expansion teams can come in and go to the top of the charts, but also it's just 3 points. Like, there's, it's so close. Like, every weekend it can flip around. And just the quality that's out there and being played is off the charts.
Yeah, and by the way, Bella, feel free to step in any time with any of your opinions. We love your opinions.
Yeah, I was waiting for an opinion about the Angel City game.
I almost said something. I was like, that is bold of you with the game I'm playing tomorrow.
I didn't even think about it, and I was just like,
oh, I didn't even think about it, yeah.
I swear, and then I was sitting here, and I was like, I can flip it. I do. I am an owner, so I'm like, but it's
fine.
All good. It's all good news.
To be fair, the game is at home for you all. Yeah. So you guys have that ridiculous home field advantage up there. We'll try to keep it neutral.
I really looked in my background. I was like, ooh, I could flip the scarf and put the USA soccer one up there, but I just got to stick with it at this point.
Rub it in. All good. Bella, all good.
You know, actually, you know, one crazy thing, Bella, which I think a lot of people aren't familiar with about you, is that you're Oregon through and through. I mean, you've pretty much, outside of the loan spells, you've pretty much, you know, spent your entire career playing up in Oregon.
Yeah, I'm an Oregon kid through and through. That's why I felt like it was so important for me to go on loan, because I grew up playing club soccer here, obviously. Oregon ODP, went to school at Oregon State. It's really important that I left not just the state, but just got experience being out of market of my family, and trying to like push myself by myself away from my normal resources. So yeah, big Oregon kid, still live very close to where I grew up. But those loan opportunities were huge for me to like step out of my comfort zone.
What'd you do? Did you just remove it? Did you just take off the camera and remove it?
I did. I have to be neutral here. I was like, oh.
I love that. Now you've just got like Herman Trophy awards behind you, and like, you know, Olympic golds and, you know, World Cup trophies, all that sorts of things. You know, those are fine. You can have those. You know, Bella somehow is endorsing, it looks like Body Armor to the right hand side, accidentally.
Coca-Cola.
I got Pepsi Nitro going. Oh, look at that. Nah, you can do that. Did somebody just turn it off? Like, oh my gosh. Bella, I do want to ask you though, what was it like in Israel? Because that's an experience that I didn't know. You know, I don't know a lot about the women's game in Israel. I know there, we have a fan out there who coaches the women's game in Israel, but I don't know much about the league.
Sure. Yeah, it was a very different experience compared to my loan in Frankfurt. Obviously not as Western, so customs different, culture's different compared to the United States, and then also the cultures within Israel of different groups, different demographics. It was really different. I felt like I took a lot of big steps and like getting around on my own. I didn't have a car. My sister actually oddly lived in Jerusalem temporarily when I was in Tel Aviv.
Oh, nice. So
I
was
Was that completely random?
Yeah, my brother-in-law was getting his PhD, and it was part of his PhD program was to go to Jerusalem, and I then got a call. There was an opportunity in Tel Aviv, so that was obviously very coincidental. But it's a very like hardworking, like Israel. I would say Israeli players are really hardworking, really feisty, and have a lot of character. And so that was really fun. It's definitely different than American soccer. I felt like I was able to get a lot of action and goal, and also felt like I was given a little bit of liberty to try new things and get out of my comfort zone. And I think that really helped me step into some new confidence when I came back to the state.
Don't they all have to go into the military?
Yeah. So a lot of my best friend on the team, she was, yeah, they all have to go into the military in some way, shape or form, which is wild, but yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Talk about hardworking.
I know. I was just gonna say, like, how that's always interesting. They're like, where was my backup keeper? They're like, well, she's on assignment right now.
She's deployed.
Yeah. A lot of my teammates were still serving their time.
Wow.
On the side, like part time. Yeah, in the military.
Well, let's this is a weird segue, but let's get into this today's topic, guys.
Segways are weird. Yeah.
Segways are always weird. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. Segues are always weird, but today's topic. Sometimes I nail them, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes.
Oh my God!
You know,
do you see who that? I see.
You're sneaking.
Come back, you little. Then get out. Oh, she's trying to be a little troublemaker. She has literally no business being in this room.
Where are you right now? Are you in the locker room?
In the locker room.
I'm in the like visitors' locker room to try to get some. Yeah,
so
quiet.
Oh,
from that.
No, that's over at Suskia's house. That is that's they decide they always want to do work literally during the podcast. That's when they decide to do all sorts
of
construction.
It doesn't matter. I could schedule a podcast at 9 in the morning, and the gardeners will happen to show up that morning. Something will happen.
All right, let's get into today's topic. Today's topic, guys, is extending reach. One of the reasons we wanted to have Bella on. is because you're really, really good at this. You're really good at staying disciplined and kind of waiting until the final moment to actually make your action to get the most reach out of the space that you can. Bella, for some parents out there who are listening who don't know what we mean by this, what do we mean by like extending your reach or range?
To me, I'm thinking of positioning to give yourself the best sort of chance, for lack of a better word, to get to all kinds of services. And you're not gambling. And so when I think of extending your reach, maximizing your reach, it means that you're disciplined in your training, whether that's left, right, control, or depth off your line. That has a huge influence on what you can and can't get to. And I think that that's something that I've put most of my energy into in the last 18 months has been really like keying in my positioning, even if it's a few inches. I'm going over film. We are that nitpicky about it. Trying to really dial it in so that we use like a joystick analogy where it's like anytime the ball is moving or if the picture changes, the joystick changes. And I'm obviously controlled by the joystick. And it's just these tiny movements so that I have the best chance of having like using the most of my reach and my range.
Saskia, all I can think of right now is playing FIFA with Bella Bigsby is right now all I can think of with the joystick analogy yeah. going on. Anything you want to add on to that?
No, I'm waiting for this drilling to stop behind me. No, I agree 100%. Like positioning is key for you to get the right movement and everything. And really like the energy that moves through your body. If you're set, you're positioning, you know, you can cover more space, have more range and more be more explosive to extend that reach.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people, when they think of extending reach, Bella, like they go like, oh, well, it's so easy for her. She's like 6 feet tall and she's got long arms and yada, yada, yada. But I don't think a lot of people recognize the fact that like, just because you have certain physical traits doesn't mean that I'm sure you've seen keepers with very, you know, long traits who can't cover space as well as you.
Yeah, I think so. What I'll say about that is that being tall, I had a lot of natural range, so to speak. But, you know, when I reached the pro level, I wasn't really tapping into my full potential. I couldn't just be content being tall and being able to get to some things because of a little, you know, some extra inches in my wingspan. I was actually very much in a deficit for low balls, the balls that are hitting the corners and side netting that are low were very difficult for me because of how tall I was. And I think that gets, you know, I do hear that a lot. Well, you're tall, you're naturally gifted at these things. I feel like I actually had to undo a lot of bad habits that I developed from relying on being tall for so long, my whole life. I had to undo a lot of those habits, break those down and then build up different habits so that I could, I feel like I have extended my reach for those balls that are on the ground. A lot of tall goalkeepers, myself included, it's a bad habit I'll come back to. My step position gets much too wide, meaning my feet go outside my hips. And so that when I have to try to sink to go to a low ball, I'll do a leg sweep. And that's a really, really typical of tall goalkeepers. We have such long bodies, so we have to figure out how to use them. And it's actually, for me, ironically, has been getting my step position narrower, loading through my hips, hinging at my hips, getting my butt low to the ground, and then being able to push. I've been able to utilize my length for lower balls, whereas before I was too wide and I was doing the leg sweep in order to get down quickly enough. So height is a great advantage when you're young. but then if you develop these bad habits that go with it, I think it can hurt you in some aspects of your game later on.
Saskia, go ahead. What were you about to say, Saskia?
Oh no, I was going to say with that wide stance and you see it, are you seeing Coco behind me with that wide, with that wide stance? When you get that there, it's very hard to get any sort of power or explosiveness to a lateral movement. And so, and then depending on a leg sweep, then you're getting no explosiveness, which is why you find tall goalkeepers getting beat low, like into the side corners and everything. So narrowing that stance. And I find that a lot as well, like with young keepers coming up that do either it's a double set with a first they set right, then they do a double set and they're too wide and they just can't cover or get that, extend their range at all. So it's really what you said is just so imperative. It's having that right position for your feet, for your set position and everything, so you can utilize and get the most energy behind your dive.
Yeah. And you know, and I, one of the things that I love, Bella, that you were saying right there in regards to like having to understand your own physical body, your own physical traits and everything like that, and recognize, you know, how certain things might be beneficial, some things might be a detriment, and how do you, you know, kind of negate these kind of weaknesses, you know, with certain areas or whatever. Like, you know, one thing I've noticed, and I don't know if this is something you've noticed with a lot of tall young goalkeepers, is that they lock so much that they actually lose range, because they just, they get so used to when they're younger of just reaching out and locking out, and that's just enough. And then once they get to the higher levels, the pace of the game is too fast that they're behind the play by then.
I remember having that issue, and the way that it was fixed for me was luckily a bit earlier on than the pro level was my hand position. When I was younger, my hands were off my body quite a bit. And so when those balls would come kind of just past my bubble, because my hands were out, I would instinctively lead with my hand, and most of the time I'd get there, but I wouldn't have any connection with the rest of my body. So relying on that height, right? Like my arm can get there, but I can't, I'm not using any power or any kind of step. And so fixing my hand position actually helped me kind of get out of that lock that you talked about. And so that I have to now trace it with both hands, and then naturally more of a step came. I was able to, like, those ones that are coming right on the fringe of your bubble, I felt like I was getting locked less.
Yeah, I think you find like keepers that do that, like, I always use an analogy. I'm like, it's like this anchor that you're leaving hanging over here, trying to dive here if your hands are too wide, and here is this, and it's like this, like, anchor towing in the water. You're getting no energy to get to that ball whatsoever. So by going with two hands to the ball, have your hands tighter, two hands to the ball, all that energy is coming from your entire core, and now you have more power behind the ball. Because if you go and you lock at a higher level, the pace of the ball is going to blow right through your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to get either, whether it's a good parry, and like, you still go two hands and you can end up with one. So you can go and then a final reach, but that power, you're hitting the ball, and so it can, either you can hold on to it, or you can get a good parry out of the box or out to the corner flag or wherever it is. But if you go and you just extend the pace of the ball at the level you're at and at high levels, it's just going to blow through your hand.
Absolutely.
But I also think, you know, Bella, like, one of the things is in regards to, like, tracking. I think, like, a lot of young goalkeepers, you know, once they lock and they extend, as you start getting to the higher levels, the ball moves more. And once you commit, once you lock, let's say it's a back to the bar type situation, once you lock with your arm up there, I'm never up there because I'm 5'8", but you know what I mean, like, my arm is up there, and the ball starts moving, well, now there's, even if you try to drive back, by then it's too late.
I have this photo, this picture, image in my head right now of Mike with his arm extended running around trying to chase a ball. So it's
like, well, you see that with corner kicks as well. If you commit too early, mm-hmm. like, you lack some of the momentum you gain from, like, holding your hands. But yeah, you're right. Like, as that ball is moving more, there's more spin, there's more texture on it. I found that as I started to find my explosiveness in, like, my second year of my season here, my hands were getting there, but I was throwing them too early, and then the ball would kind of just sort of hit it like a wall instead of finding the ball and reading the spin. And I think locking out too early causes a lot of problems in a lot of different areas.
You want to meet energy with energy.
Yeah.
Newton's theory, right? You don't want to put a wall up, and if you shoot something at a wall, it's going to blow through it. But if you hit a moving target with a moving target, it'll redirect it. And it's easier to control.
I was just going to say, Saskia,
you love when I do that.
That Rutgers education playing in right there. Right there. We got Newton's theory coming to play in goalkeeping. I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. I want to talk about flexibility with you, Bella, because is this something that, I mean, I notice a lot of the saves in regards you're making when you're talking about getting low to the ground now and being able to use your limbs efficiently now. It seems like, have you been doing a lot of, like, Pilates or flexibility work in the off season? I love the face.
I was not judgmental against Pilates. I just don't have the discipline for that. So
it's such an LA question.
I just saw like an image came to my head of me doing Pilates in the off season. I was like, it's such
a bougie question. No. Are you in your Pilates class?
Listen, I got to get into my Lululemon right now as we speak.
So. So what comes to mind was how I essentially dropped into some split against the spirit on a 1v1 I had against Trinity Rodman. I felt like that was a little showcase of the flexibility I've been working on. I work on, especially for 1v1, I feel like a lot of hip mobility and a lot of hamstring mobility. That's something I'm doing before practice each day to increase, so that when I'm getting into those positions at full speed, I'm not going to injure myself. Lucky for me, I did hurdles in high school. And so
a long leg
foot save for me is a lot like how I looked going over a hurdle and how I stretched for hurdles. I'd say flexibility, we do a lot of explosive work with Nadine and here in Portland to the goalkeeping. So a lot of the times we'll start on our knees and it becomes a sequence of one knee up, the next knee up. And so being able to push out of a position where we have a lot of knee flexion, being able to activate those glutes in uncomfortable positions is key to like tapping into the most power that we have. So flexibility has been, that's something I've been focusing on, especially as I've gotten older. Not like a spry 18-year-old anymore. So flexibility has been I'm still young, but I definitely have to I'm starting to feel like I have to change my prehab and my rehab a little bit compared to when I started playing professionally.
I get that question. I want to answer that comment that came up really quick. Who was that from? The 10-year-old?
It's from Hector. From Hector.
Hector. So Hector, if you're finding that he's doing a lot, he's kick save happy, which is bad habit that's going around. A lot of that is coming, you have to watch his set position and if he's flat footed or on his heels for his height as well. Because if he's not weight forward and stuff like that, it's an easy, I'm just going to kick out my foot and kick save. So you have to look at that as well. It might not just be the fact that he's taller. It might also be that he's not setting properly.
Go ahead, Bella.
I was going to say, if he's 10 years old, I would be willing to bet that the pace at that age isn't fast enough yet that he has to be foot saving.
Yeah. Okay.
And so at that age, I remember I went through a phase where I was getting foot save happy, as you say. And it had a lot to do with the fact that I was set on my heels or set too wide. My weight's back. And now it's just easier to release and kick save instead of dropping my butt, hinging my hips and leading with my hands for a low ball. He's probably having success with it and it's being reinforced. So Saskia said, I think it's probably related to your some set position being too backwards or too wide.
Yeah. And I think, one thing about that too, I mean, just to play devil's advocate though here, Hector, I think it's also based on the scenario too. And based on the situation, because I don't want anyone out there to think, and Bella, you brought up the Trinity Rodman save, which was a phenomenal save. We're going to watch that and then the recovery save after that one too, later on. but that is a situation where a kick save is necessary because you're extending to cover space. And there's a difference between using your legs effectively because it's the closest area basically to the ball and just making a play on the ball that leads to a rebound in a dangerous space or whatever type of a thing. So Hector, I think you have to recognize what the scenario is first, as opposed to just telling him, don't kick save, don't kick save, don't kick save. Because that kind of negative, feedback as well, too, is just going to put a kid in their head. I mean, that's just my thinking here.
Keep the ball out of the net. No, you're 100% right. It depends on the situation, how the proximity and everything. If it's a hard shot low and it's the only thing that you're not going to get your hands down, you're not going to be able to cover it, the only thing there is your foot, then that's fine. But if he's just deferring to it for everything, then it's a set position issue.
Bella, I got a question for you because, we've been talking about the technical and then tactical in regards to extending reach and everything like that. How much of it, though, especially as you're getting older, especially as the speed of the game changes, is mental in regards to being comfortable to, you know, make expand your bubble and saying, you know what, as opposed to, oh, I can't get to that ball. Oh, you know what, I can make a play on that ball.
I think it starts with my mindset and training. I try in training to hold as much as I can, sometimes to a fault where I should be maybe parrying it. I try to save that mindset shift for when I'm warming up in a game, if it's outside my bubble and I decide to parry it. But in training, I'm always trying to test my boundaries to see where I can hold on a ball safely and reliably and consistently. And so, you know, that comes with a coach pushing those boundaries as well, and trying to identify, like, is the reach not there because it's the wrong tactical decision? Is the reach not there because it's just poor technical execution? Is it delayed? Is it too slow? And I feel like if you identify the reason why a player's not getting to these, a goalkeeper's not getting to these balls, if you can identify if it's maybe speed, so like switching the program, I now have to put my foot in the ground, lead with my hands. If they're doing it and it's just behind, then it's working on timing, getting out of the middle quicker. But you also have to identify if they're using the correct technique to handle that ball correctly, if that makes sense.
I think it's a great point because this is very part of my training and everything, especially in training and in practice. It's, guys, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone. You have to. You have to see, you know, don't just defer. Okay, I'm always going to just parry this ball, or I'm always just, you know, do this. You don't know what you can hold on to unless you start extending your range. And you can even break that down to, like, how far can you come for crosses? How's your timing and everything? You have to try in practice. You can't just always say, well, I'm just going to parry. I'm just going to parry. You never know. First of all, I want you to hold on to the ball. We all know that I want everybody to hold on to the ball because I hate rebounds. And so I'm like, so you have to put that effort in. You know, you're never going to get further along. You're never going to extend your range. You're never going to know what you can do if you don't make those efforts in training.
But I love, Bella, what you just said right there in regards to that sometimes the player might be actually doing everything, quote unquote, right. It's just a matter of just that they're either maybe athletically a little bit behind, you know, from the speed of play. They just can't move that efficiently quite yet. And then I think a lot of times they get frustrated and they start scrapping what they're doing because they think they're doing it wrong. So how is as a young coach, how do you, you know, get that across to a young player, you know, coming from, you know, somebody like yourself?
I think I experienced this a lot in like my first and second year. Like I said, I had to undo a lot of habits for how I was getting to low balls. Nadine has a specific technique that we learned that I was finally starting to get the hang of in live play. It's one thing to get it in practice, but once forwards are shooting on you, you tend to go back to your bad habits. Once I was starting to get it in live play and shooting drills, I was really behind. So correct action, really slow. And if I get frustrated, I go back to sweeping my leg. And that's not how we build the patterns up here so that we can do it unconsciously. I think this, like, I had to just commit to the fact that I was doing the technique right. It was just slow. And see that I was getting faster. I was getting closer. And one day I just started holding these. I was starting to get, like, the patterns were built in my mind. I wasn't having to think about it. It just became unconscious. And so I think it really is being committed to the process will make the action you're trying to do more unconscious. You're not having to think about it and it just starts executing faster. That was my experience. And so I try to keep my kids committed to the process. You did the right thing. It may have been slow, but you did the right thing. Keep doing the right thing.
I love that. And I love that. I love that positive encouragement. I think there needs to be more of that in the youth game. And Saskia, I know you agree with that statement right there. By the way, Saskia, you're on mute right now, so I'm assuming that there's still a
no. I was unmuted, and you keep muting me.
So. Well, it's because I keep hearing.
All right, stop.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't tell me. Doing that very loud. You've been muting me.
I know. I've been right. Muting you. By the way, Bella, I was chatting with Nadine just briefly a few weeks back, and she's like, I'm a little busy right now. Like they're out here filming a documentary. I mean, like what is that environment like when you have like a superstar goalkeeper coach with like this fan following and people just coming out and filming that type of stuff. That's gotta
be really, I think it's, she really does not act like that's the reality. She's very relatable and goofy and fun. And so I think I forget. I don't forget, but like sometimes I'm like, why do they want to see her? Sounds really bad. I'm like, oh my God. Her career was incredible. She's incredible. She's so like down to earth and relatable and real that it's easy to forget that.
Well, you know what's not easy to forget? Some of the saves that you've made recently. So I want to break down some of these plays right here. Oh.
Good segue.
You see that? I can make it happen when I want. Okay, so let's see here. Let's pop this up right here. I want to start with this play right over here. This is, I believe this is against, let's see here. Is this against Portland? This is against Washington, right? Okay, so this is, so I think the ball is played. Where is this?
Corner kick.
Yes, it's a corner kick. It's Sam Staub, right? She gets a little flick on the ball. It's kind of plays, bumps out towards like a little bit towards the 18. Half volley by Ashley. Is it Ashley Sanchez? It is, right? Oh, look at that play right there. Let's play that one more time. I just want to start it from the very beginning. And why don't you break it down for us, Bella, what's happening here from the corner kick. First off, with the positioning here.
Sure. Normal starting positioning for an in-swinger.
Yep. Ball's played in-swinger.
Yep, can't get
Staub
to it.
Gets
so
touch.
Yeah. Go ahead. So as that ball is coming off Staub's head and kind of getting ready for a second phase, my cue right there is that I have to be ready for a shot at any point because I can't really see. I have a lot in my way. So my cue there is to drop to my goal line so that I can't get looped. And so very, like a lot of credit to Ashley Sanchez here. She's not really facing the goal, but I've given myself the best chance to get to any shot she has because I'm in the correct position. I'm not in the goal, but on my goal line, my set position looks good. I'm balanced. And so when this loops, I go to tip it. And because it has some bend on it, I have to start reaching, continuing to follow it because it's starting to bend away. And so it kind of twists my body and it looks a little crazy. It goes from one being maybe just a tip over the bar to me having to leave the ground because, like we talked about, that texture comes in and I realize I'm going to have to twist a little bit to push that over. But go ahead.
This is a perfect example of what we were talking about getting that energy up through your body, going with two hands, ending up tipping with one. That energy pulled you off the ground like that. That helped make that save. We see a lot of goalkeepers that will go with their hands too early, and this ball goes through their hand into the top of the net. And that's exactly what we were talking about. So that's where that range, that extension, and that energy through your body helps make this save. And that all comes from your set position, your body weight, and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even looking right here, Bella, and like, you know, we're talking about tracking the ball and then not making the action until the final moment.
That's right.
I have to wait because I'm not trying to just let the ball hit my hand. I'm trying to move the ball.
Exactly.
I'm not just thinking like I think a lot with tipping, a lot of goalkeepers struggle because they walk out too early. It hits their hand.
Yep.
And it'll go into the crossbar. It'll go into the net or it'll rebound. You can't just act as a wall. You're trying to exert your own momentum into this ball to redirect it. And I think maybe conceptualizing it as a redirection helps.
Yeah, and this is a perfect example.
See, and now the movement of this ball, first of all, that's a nasty ball, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that
it starts to dip.
Yeah.
Well, it did. And the spin is what made it challenging because I think this is normally just a tip, but because it started to bend at the last second, I had to get a little salmon upstream, you know what I mean? And just get a little bit more push out of it.
I think that this
outside the frame of my body.
I think that this is where some people that don't understand would be like, why does Bella have to leave the ground? She's, you know, 6 feet and stuff. She could just, and that's not true. Like, that's exactly what we're saying is being there, locking out, like being a wall, the ball will blow through you. That ball will hit the top of the net inside the goal and everything. So using that energy, it's a great save. It's perfect what we're talking about.
just, yeah, shooting my hand, the energy in like me shooting my hand as hard as I can versus my whole body behind my hand is what gives me the ability to push it over instead of
just your hand.
Accidentally yeah. redirecting this into net because of the spin.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I'm looking at this here too. And I think, you know, also, you know, before we move on right here, Bella, I think a lot of young goalkeepers need to recognize that you have to be able to improvise within the scenario because every play isn't going to be like what you think it's going to be. Like you said, that ball starts moving as you're going up for contact. And so you had to get that physicality of that twist of the hips, you know, in order to redirect that ball right there.
Yeah.
I think it's just a brilliant save. How many kids hit that into the net just over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. And by kids, I mean me. How many of me hits that ball into the net? So,
I think also, like we talked, like positioning, you don't, like I see goalkeepers sometimes, they get set for this and they're almost in the net mm-hmm. and you're going to push it against the bar. You don't want to, like, you obviously don't want to be, I feel like I'm really happy with my position here. You don't want to be too far off your line so that it dips past you, but you can't be in your net where you're pushing it into the bottom of the bar as well.
And I also think one of the best things is you are set right on, like, your timing for your set. You're not stagnant, so you're not set too early. You're not flat-footed. You're not setting too late, so you're still moving when Ashley's already hit it and stuff. You're set and ready to explode. Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. And I think, you know, last thing I want to say right here too, Bella, what you said was just absolutely perfect about, you know, the heels on the line. A lot of kids are, you know, on the heels are on the line. I always tell young goalkeepers, I said, your whole goal is to protect the space in front of the goal. Not your goal is not to be inside the goal and protect the goal. So if you're inside the goal, all you're doing is already you're in the space where the goal is trying to be, you know, the ball is trying to be scored into. Just that little thing. Boom. All right, let's move on to this right here. I think, look at this. Congratulations from everybody. Oh, here's the play. Here's the play that we were talking about earlier on. A lot happens here. Obviously this, I think what happens is this ball is from outside of the box at an angle across Ashley Hatch to Trinity Rodman into space. You come out, hold. I think that's a great save. And then here's the recovery. And then that touch covers that space right there. We'll start it from the very beginning. Bell, I see that you're already criticizing yourself right here. In my opinion, this was pretty darn solid. But let's start from here. So what's going on here first off?
I think this is something I try to teach my kids is, like, what is the picture in front? So this ball is nowhere near me, but I can already see Trinity Rodman is breaking and is probably is asking for a slip pass. And I have one defender covering the space between. So I'm already thinking that if Ashley Hatch passes this, I have to be able to close the space to cut off the angle. If she takes a touch, like, I have to be set because she hits it first time. But if she takes that touch, I then have to close space. So that's what I'm reading right now is she going to hit this first time?
Right.
And so if she can, I want to be set for this.
Hey, but, it's just me and you. I think we lost Mike. No, it's true. And I think you find a lot of times with Michael come back, but I think with that, you'll find kids that are moving as that ball is getting slipped here, they're coming too soon. Right. And so if she does hit it the first time, they're still moving and it's passed right by them into the side netting. Right. So you're kind of like, all right, I'm in a good position right now. If Trinity hits that first time, I have it covered. If she takes a touch, then I can in that time I can steal another yard or two and then get set. But we'll find a lot of goalkeepers, right? Go ahead with the pass, Mike.
Okay.
Like right now we'll start moving. And if she hits it first time, they're moving when she hits it and it's blown by her. Yeah. So to have that patience and now take a new pre-stretch and set because she's taken the touch, close the angle, and then, you know, and the foot's it, that's what's closest right now. If you don't go with your foot and you try to get the hand there, that's a goal.
Oh, absolutely, completely. I apologize there, guys. I don't know what happened.
It's okay. We were talking about you.
I disappeared. I just figured that Saskia was just enough's enough with muting me. So I'm just going to kick Mike off the stream right now. No, I love this. Now, I want to talk about this part right here, because this is where I think a lot of young goalkeepers think that it's over. They're like, well, I did my job. I'm done. And then they just stand there and wait for the play. So what's your thought right here after this split save right here?
So as soon as I touch it, my head's up and I'm trying to assess what's next. And so my default here is that if I have time, I want to kill space behind me because I'm at risk for being chipped right now. As it starts to pop out, though, I'm also being screened by my own defender. I think it's screening me a little bit. And so ball hasn't been hit, so I'm still trying to cover my space in behind. But when she hits it, I can't see it. So at this point, I'm like, your guess is as good as mine. I do get caught moving a little bit there because I can't see that she's hit it. But I think I'm in an okay position. This is like going bottom left, and I'm just trying to get there as it's dipping so it doesn't bounce over my hand. And then I take a nap.
Did she? It almost looks like whether she mishit it or what, that she was trying to go over you. Am I wrong? Because she open foots this.
Yeah.
She open foots that. And so by you trying to recover with that space behind you, like some people wouldn't have done that. They would have gone from the initial stave and they would have gone more of a lateral recovery line and left too much space behind them. And then, yes, been totally vulnerable to be taken over top. So I think it's a good recovery.
And I think too, go ahead, Belle.
Just striking that balance between how much I can fine tune my positioning during the play and when I need to just say, screw it, I have to get set. And that's like, ideally, I'm a little bit more dropped here, but the fact is the ball is coming and where I'm at is where I'm at. And so I try to strike a balance of moving as much as I can, but then not moving by the time the ball is like being set so that I have the best chance.
Yeah. Now, I think one thing that I do want to bring up right here, though, for a lot of, you know, people who are listening here or watching is the fact is that, like, and Bella can attest to this, is that you're not always going to be in the perfect position.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're going to have to improvise and you're going to have to deal with being out of position or being obstructed view or whatever sort
but
of
exactly,
thing.
But exactly what Bella said, you want it regardless, you want to get set. So it's better to be set and out of position than it is to be moving. Mm-hmm. I didn't make that one up. That's Tony DiCicco. So, you know, that was drilled into my head forever. Better to be set so you can actually give yourself the opportunity to make a save.
Also, how many young goalkeepers right there, Bella, they start scrambling towards the ball?
That's what I just said. They would go lateral.
And I think that if that ball pops out really close to me, it's one thing to keep closing, but this goes so far past me. It's like I let the defenders try to affect it, which they do. She has to now chip it over sink.
Yeah.
And if I'm getting dragged out, she's chipping it over me.
Yep.
And so it's that game reading of like, can I affect the ball? Nope. I'm going to get into the best position I can, which in this case is closer to my goal line.
Yeah. Dropping back and creating that depth, I think, is what makes this save right here. And again, I think this is another thing where a lot of young goalkeepers, they take things so literally and they say, ball plays out, come out into the space, you know, but you recognize the scenario, what can happen? What are their options for the player there? And where, what's the safest move right there? I think there's a brilliant double save in my opinion. There you go. There you take the
zoom in. I was like, I need to just lay down for a second.
It's also what we talk about for people out there when we're like, how are you reading the game? How quickly are you reading the game fast enough? Or are you too slow with reading the game? And so this is a good example of like, this isn't something that you had a lot of time. It's like split second. Okay. I'm going to take two steps back, get myself in the best position I can. Done. Like, and that's reading the game and that is the next level. So well done. Yeah.
All right. So let's go on to this play right over here. So this is, I think this is against OL Rain, right? This is against OL Rain. I think it's Sofia Huerta with a cutback. Boom. And then it's in towards the six, headed ball by Bethany Balser. See, this is the type of play, Bella, that I'm talking about where like a young goalkeeper comes out and they try to win this ball. But then you recognize the movement.
Yeah, my philosophy is that especially if it's a split second decision, right? Can I get there? Can I not? And if I can't, and especially if there's a defender, like make this hard work for the forward. Like she has to try to score from the PK spot off of a header, make that hard for her. If I come and she loops it over me, Yeah. So as soon as I realize that I'm not going to come for that, I drop.
Yeah. And that's a great point. Like you have to, again, read the game, assess the situation. How hard is it? Like the only way she's scoring on this header is if you're out of position.
Right.
Because there's not enough pace behind her or anything like that. She's already in the spot where the ball is landing. So she's not running into the spot where she has momentum behind it or anything. So you're make it hard for her and don't make it easy. Don't be out of position so it loops over you. So again, well done. See, I'm not critical, Mike. I'm very positive.
No, opinionated.
I've had a few goals recently that deserve.
Oh, well, I would be, but we're not putting those up.
By the way, I don't know, Bella, I don't know if you saw recently, but everybodysoccer.com had you listed in some of the top young prospects in the women's national team pool. So, you know,
awesome.
Yeah. Well,
hey, it's great timing, you know, get in there before the next World Cup.
What's going on in Pacific Northwest? You, Fallon, it's getting crazy up there. It's getting crazy up there. All right. So I want to play this right here. So right here on the cutback, on the in-swinger here, what I'm talking about is this is a really tough ball for a lot of goalkeepers, because I think when it hits Balser's head, I think personally I would have gone for the ball. I would have tried to come out.
Why would you have gone for that cross? It's at the 12.
Well, because I stick my arm up in the air. I'm not that great a goalkeeper. But,
no, but I'm just saying, but listen to what Bella's saying. Look how many defenders you have there. Look,
yeah.
Everybody's marked up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Why in God's name would you come for, and it's not a looping ball. Like, why would you come and try to, the only thing you're going to do coming for this ball at the 12 is take out your own defender yourself, and possibly the ball is just going to go boop and bounce into the goal. Why? And you're 5'8", Mike. So
I know. Look, I need this information. We have a game tonight, okay? And we need to win in order to make the playoffs in my men's league. So it's good that we're having this podcast right now.
This is the point. But this is the thing where you have to be able to change your decision at the time. Like, okay, I was going to come. I'm not. Now I have to. Don't follow one mistake by the other mistake. Don't pull yourself out of position and not get yourself back into position. So no, don't come, but then get yourself back into position, right? Because if you don't, then you've done another mistake. And also,
I mean, I think sometimes I find that these balls, Bella, and I don't know how you feel, but sometimes these balls that don't have the pace on them, but have this really a lot of air underneath the ball and they're high looping, are more difficult than more driven ball in this scenario.
Sure. I think that you have to, this one especially, I'm doing the math of like, is this going to land on top of the post? Is this going out of bounds? Is this going to dip before the post? And I think it's just because I'm in a position, I can just do a quick hip swivel and then just time it.
Yeah, but then you find with those looping balls, if you don't time your load and your explosion right, you see people that hit it into the bottom of the bar, don't get a full tip on it with power, hits off the crossbar, bounces right back out, or hits the ball into the net. So, you know, with those slow looping ones, load and explode through. It's timing.
This is a common youth goalkeeper club soccer goal that I see.
Absolutely.
A lot of the times.
Yeah.
You know? And then everyone's got an excuse. Well, you know, we need a taller goalkeeper or, you know, faster goalkeeper, or we need a new goalkeeper. Parents are brutal. Parents are the worst.
Trust me, they are. Some coaches are too.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Belle, we don't want to keep you too long, because I know obviously you got a lot going on. You got the Angel City game coming up. So thanks for taking the time during that. I do want to talk about this a little bit before we kind of get done with this here. Are there any specific activities that you recommend young goalkeepers, you know, either perform on their own to work on extending their reach?
I'm trying to think of any that I have on my own. I mean, I try to think about, we were talking about locking out too early, and there's kind of this disconnection from the rest of your body. I think anytime that you're trying to hold a ball or try to figure out your reach kind of within that fringe, I'm thinking of, you can volley a ball at a wall, volley or throw a ball at a wall. not so that it's coming right back at you, but so that it's, you're hitting it at an angle so that it's going to kind of come in these fringe zones, and trying to get two hands there with a step so that you're keeping your whole chest behind it. That's like very like low level. If you're having a kid that just is sticking hands out and not moving, there's no coordination with the rest of the body. I think getting your, the rest of it all coordinated and connected is huge. Because if you take your step with it, as that becomes, that's the next step. The step after that is that if it's farther than that, you now have the step, you can leave the ground. Yeah. And so it's kind of like built up, but there's a lot. I mean, here, there's a big one that we did to kind of test that patient and figure out your range is starting with your head down, and your goalkeeper coach cues you to pick your head up, and it can come high into your face or low into your feet. And it's driven. It's as it's come, as you pick your head up, the ball's coming, and you have to make the decision to go hands or to turn your hands over and scoop it. And I remember struggling with this, and every time it went low, I would kick save. And so that really helped me with getting that connection of like where my range is, when I need to kick save versus when I can turn my hands over. That builds up into high, low, left or right dive. So you can start building up what's included with, I pick my head up, anything can happen. And you start learning, like, you start building those connections faster. So like most stuff's in your range, but if the connections are slow, that helps build the connection to be faster.
Yeah, don't do that in the game though, guys. I'm going to see Bella play tomorrow, and she's like, hey, look, her head's down, and she just made a great save.
Sometimes I've thought about doing that for PKs because we do like so much. I start on the goal line with my head down. Nadine's on the PK spot, and she's ripping a half volley left or right, and I pick my head up, and I can just pop out of the middle. And
I had
PK comes, and I'm like, why can't I get these?
Yeah, I had to. I did that when I was at UCLA. I did that with Lauren because Lauren was thinking too much, in a sense. And you know, I'm a firm believer that, like, I think timing and reaction on a PK, because you're forcing them to hit a perfect PK, especially at a certain level. I know Franz Hook agrees with me on that too. So I had her actually with her back to me. Like, and I was just like, turn shot, get set, like from the PK spot. Yeah. Just like, get used to like, reading me really quickly and reacting like you do when we sit here and I'm just shooting on you. Like, you know.
Yeah, your brain only takes the last picture. And I think that kids get caught up in reading, like they're taking cues that don't matter, like parts of the run up or what their upper body, like your brain is only paying attention to the last snapshot.
Yeah.
My favorite one that I get with like young goalkeepers is they go like, well, I couldn't see it.
See what?
Start training with mannequins.
On a penalty kick?
No, not a penalty kick. I'm just
so you're on
penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. So like with the Ashley Sanchez one, I'm telling you, I couldn't see it. We train a lot with starting with our head down, picking your head up, the ball's already moving, or mannequins, people in the way, because how often do we look up and our freaking defenders are in our way? A lot. Yeah. At least for me. And so being able to be balanced and not get caught going left or right.
And that's part of that same thing. Like, get yourself set in the right position, and it's a split second. You know, if you're loaded and ready to go and your set timing's right, you're going to get there. So,
you know, and I think that's another thing too, is that I think, you know, as you keep progressing in the levels as a young goalkeeper, the game gets faster, and the more and more likely you are to have less time of actually having view of the ball and getting into position and those sorts of things. And, you know, you have to keep improving that as you get older. Otherwise, you're going to always be behind the play, always be behind the play. Like, maybe the reason that you can't see the ball is because you're a step behind every single time. So, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here.
Also, right, take into account context clues when you can't see the ball. Like, where's your defender? Where's the ball coming from? Like, where are the, you can't gamble and go early, but like sometimes the picture in front of you will give you some clues.
Yeah. Like, is my far post covered by my defender? Exactly. One of my defenders, stuff like that. Yeah. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks.
Are you saying that sincerely?
I am saying that sincerely. I always want to see goalkeepers excel, and you better take it seriously. Absolutely. Yeah.
Trying to get back to shut up.
There we go. So Bella, if anybody out there wants to connect with you, first off, again, thanks for time. I'm really excited for tomorrow's game. You know, obviously, is a big match for everyone. Even though it's early in the season, I feel like these rivalries are really starting to ramp up right here, and this West Coast rivalry is going to be big time for a while. Where's the best place for people to connect with you?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Bella Bixby. Both of those platforms are great.
Right on.
And obviously Saskia Weber, you can reach out to Saskia Weber at Saskia Weber on the Union Sports platform. You see how I did that right there? Saskia, I put the plug in for the Union Sports right there. Check out the free Union Soccer community on all platforms. There's the link tree right there, or unionsports.com on desktop. It is a free community for all soccer players out there. We got a lot of fun stuff going on right there. You definitely got to check it out. And you can also reach out to Saskia Weber on traditional social media platforms as well, at Saskia_Weber. If you want to reach out to us, contact at InsideThe18Media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on all socials. If you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, shout out to those who had recommended that we reach out to Bella Bixby. We thought you were too big time to come back on the show, Bella. I didn't know.
I love talking goalkeeping. Love
it.
It's been a couple. Honestly, to be honest with you, we're really proud of everything. You know, obviously, there's been a lot that's happened, you know, on the field and off the field. So just, you know, congratulations on all the accomplishments that you're making out there. And also for you making a difference in the world, too, because I think that's really important for a lot of young kids to see out there. All right, guys, with that being said, I know Saskia's got a meeting to get to. So that is all the time on Inside the 18.
Why?
And we are
always throwing you under the bus.
Just go.
Okay, maybe I guess I didn't have to give that information out. Fine, we'll do that again. I'll edit that out in the audio. How about that?
There you go.
All right, guys, that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.